Father, I thank you also again for the word of God. The entrance thereof brings light and understanding. We ask that the Lord will grant us understanding and shine that light in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, so a very hopefully short exhortation this morning, just to finish off yesterday's lesson. Yesterday was on understanding the time of the promise, and today is on earnestly contending for the word of promise. You know, so that's what we are just going to share for just a little bit, and I trust the Lord will bless you. Our first statement today is to ask, what is a promise? What's a promise? There are many ways that God made promises in the scriptures. You know, sometimes, you know, it's a promise that he made to individuals. Sometimes it's a promise that he made to a whole group or a whole nation at once. You know, sometimes there's generic promises out there in the Bible that were written, perhaps not directly spoken by God, but men of God, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, they wrote these things, because that's what we're told, that, you know, all scripture is by inspiration of the Lord and did not come by ideas of men, but those who were moved, you know, holy men, apostles and the prophets, as they were moved by God, they wrote these things, you know. So we rejoice in the fact that, you know, that's how the word of God came to us. You know, all scripture, 2 Timothy 3 and 16, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I dare say, many scriptures that are also profitable for a victorious living in Christ. You know, so now a promise, you know, when given by God, you have to examine what it is exactly that he's saying, you know, because sometimes the promise may carry a condition. And sometimes it's unconditional. Sometimes it may be given in the form of even a contract. Sometimes the Lord said in a few places, I have sworn by myself that surely blessing, I will bless you. You know, that's a powerful, you know, powerful statement when the Lord puts it like that, you know, so, and, but the first, lesson today is, here's our first punchline today, that our promise is not a promise unless you know what was promised. And that's the first thing. You know, somebody made a promise, it's not really a promise unto you unless you know what was promised. So it is important for us to know what was promised or what God has promised. But today I'm talking about the word of promise. You know, many promises, but there may be a particular, the word of promise that God has given. And, in this series, we're focusing on that particular promise that he gave on the subject of emerging. Now, according to the dictionary, a promise is a declaration or assurance that one will do a particular thing or that a particular thing will happen. Well, you know, a promise could also be that something will not happen or someone will not do something, you know, so it's not always you know, I will do this. It could be I will not do this. That could be a promise to you. Like God said, I will not put upon you any of those diseases which I put upon the Egyptians, you know. Give that promise in the negative like that for what he will not do. Hallelujah. Can I also say, well, you know, can I also give it in the positive, like, I am the Lord that healeth thee. You know, or it can say, you know, it some other way. You know, so the promise is not a promise unless you know what was promised. Now, assuming that we know what was promised, there may also be an understanding of the time around the promise. That's the one we covered yesterday. Today, I want to just cover briefly how to contend earnestly for that word of promise. Now, sometimes, you know, we forget even what was promised. And it is important for us to keep the word of promise right in front of us, which I call eyes on the promise. Now keep your eyes on the promise. Now let's never forget what was promised, you know. And you got to also know that he is faithful who has promised. But what did he promise? What has God promised you? You know, sometimes we latch on to generic promises. And that works too if you know how to use your faith. But then sometimes there's point blank promise that God may make just for you. And you say, well, just for me? Why not? The Holy Spirit still speaks to us today. So why not? God has not stopped speaking. We find a lot of things that he has already said in the Bible. But does that mean that God closed up his mouth and never spoke again? Of course not. You know, God can still speak to us as individuals, you know, and most of the time he will use the same written word to confirm back to you something that he wants to say to you in the moment or for strength, you know, in terms of what you may be going through. Things such as, well, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise. Things such as, you know, the mountains and the hills may depart, but my kindness will not depart from you. That's a promise. Isaiah 54 and verse 10. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. That's a promise. Now, when we know these promises, what then must we do? Well, first of all, we need to be, these are the steps to earnestly contending for the promise, the word of promise. There's a lot of promises, but there may be a specific word of promise for the time. We covered that yesterday, the time of the promise. The first thing is to realize that what exactly God promised. What did he say? Because God is bound only by what he said. He is not bound by what we think he said, you know, so we need to be very sure of what God actually said, you know, so because we can't make anything happen which God has not said. You've heard me give that scripture multiple times here, and that's in Lamentation 3 and 37. You cannot make it happen if God didn't say it, you know, But if it is something that he said, well then, what do we need to do about that if that's what he said? Well, the scripture says that the promises of God towards us, you know, they're not like, well, you know, maybe not, you know, up and down, yes and no. For the promises of God in Christ are yea, and in him Amen. Unto the glory of God by us. 2 Corinthians 1:20. So, we also need, so that's number one is know what the word of promise said to you. You know. And if you do not know it, then it was not a promise. You know. Because it's not a promise unto you unless you know what was promised. You know, now, for this is the word of promise. At this time will I visit Sarah, and according to the time of life, she shall conceive. Well, that was the word of promise. Now, it was important, you know, for them to know that promise. Not only know the promise, though, it was also important, you know, to put your faith in that promise. Now, sometimes God promised something, but people forget. You know, that's too many times we see that in the scriptures, and even sometimes in our own lives. You know, we forget. So, but at any point in time, and the Holy Spirit will remind you of the word of promise, Romans chapter 9, and verse 9. For this is the word of promise. So there is a specific promise that was being referred to. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son, was the word of promise. Well, you know, God already promised it, and he will fulfill it, but we got to hold on to that promise. Keep your eyes on that promise. That sometimes we got to do even more than that. You got to remind yourself continuously. You got to repeat that promise. Repeating that promise. We've talked about that multiple times. Giving voice to his word. Last week, I think sometime in one of the lessons we talked about, you know, the voice of the Lord is in his word. You know, give voice to that word. That's another thing. You know, and, but today I want to focus on a small aspect that sometimes we forget. Oh, sometimes we do it a little bit, but we don't do it enough. You know, and that is contending in prayer for that promise. Now, just because God promised something doesn't mean that it's just going to come to you served on a golden platter. Especially not if the devil has something to say about that. You know, so a famous and a good example for us to consider is the story of course, Elijah, the prophet. You might read all of his saga with, you know, Ahab, Jezebel, these prophets of the grove and prophets of Baal, and Elijah standing in the word of the Lord and saying there will be no rain and all of that. You know, I'm sure many of us know those stories. But when it was time for the Lord to send rain, the Lord spoke to Elijah, and Elijah went and showed himself to Ahab on that day. And after all that drama of, you know, fire on Mount Carmel and all that, which you know the story, God that answered by fire, let him be God and all of that. After all that said and done, and he had taken a hold of the prophets, the false prophets, and got rid of all of them, with some help, you know, he said to Ahab in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain coming. You know, so, you know, Elijah, God already told him, and he told it to Ahab as well. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. But what about Elijah? Did Elijah go up to eat and to drink? Well, absolutely not. Maybe he went up to the top of Carmel and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. You know, so now Elijah is going to do something here that we need to do more often concerning the word of promise. Now, whereas he told Ahab to go and eat and drink, he himself, who gave the word, did not go and eat and drink. Rather, he went up to pray. And he was praying some kind of prayer that was powerful. As a matter of fact, the book of James would eventually report on this and write on it that, look, you know how Elijah was a man of passion just like us, and he prayed passionately. So he wrote about that in James chapter 5, you know, verses 17 and 18. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it did not rain for 3.5 years. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. Well, you know, but the Lord actually spoke it, but Elijah had to pray it down. That's right. You know, it's kind of like, let the heavens drop down, let the skies pour down rain, let the earth open up together. I mean, you know, you latch onto the promise, you pray it down. And many, we don't know how long it took. Might have been several minutes, might have even been longer, that he prayed. And he asked his servant to go check it out. And the heavens were brass. There was nothing, you know, nothing at all. Didn't even seem like it was going to rain. Skies were clear, you know. And so just because God promised it, this is a lesson today. Just because God promised it, and when, even though you know it, that's not enough. There's some time that you've got to contend and fight for that thing and pray it through, you know, and don't give an inch until you see it come to pass. So Elijah, he sent his servant, go check it out. The man came back and said, well, I see nothing. Well, go check it out some more. Elijah was already on top of the mountain. He actually had a clearer line of sight to check out the sky, but he wasn't going to check it out. He put his head down between his knees. You know, I mean, he himself could just get up from that position of prayer and look. And he, you know, but he said, no, I'm not going to do it. I mean, he's going to pray this thing through. And so he sent the man, go check it out. The man went and checked it out, came back and said, well, I see nothing. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes, you know, there will be contradictions to the word of promise. The Lord said there's coming rain. Elijah even said, I hear the abundance in, you know, in the spirit. But yet, when you look, you know, there is nothing. Yeah, that's why sometimes the Bible says, look, we walk not by sight, but by faith. Because when you are looking by sight, nothing may look like what you are believing God for. And, but whether it looks like it or not, you got to stay with it in prayer. And so, sent the man one time, came back and said, I see nothing. Well, Elijah went and prayed some more. And then, you know, he sent the man again, go check it out. The man came again and said, I see nothing. You know, the second time, the third time, you know, and so forth. And so many times, you know, and finally, after about 7 times or so, you know, it says, and it came to pass in verse 44, at the 7th time that he said to the man, you know, he's been doing it 7 times now. And the 7th time he told the man, behold, go and do it, check it out again. So the man came back and said, ah, this time I see there arises a little cloud. All you see, like a man's hand. And Elijah said, that's it. That's it right there. That's it. You know, so enough time may have passed. So we don't know how much time. All that time was praying earnestly, but nothing appeared. You know, the heavens were brass. There was no sign of rain. Even though he heard it in his spirit, even though he knew it, even though the Lord promised it, it was coming that day, but there was nothing in sight. But you have to pray. You know, so he prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed until something appeared. Some people say push until something, pray until something happens. They call it push, P-U-S-H. You keep praying until something happens. Well, in the case of Elijah, he was waiting for the rain and he had to pray through. And that's one way of contending earnestly for his promise. Another way, which we've spoken about from time to time, is for you to be declaring it and acting like it. You know, and that's part of my faith specs that I often teach. That once you know what was promised, which is the C, the promise, the S, once you are persuaded of it, that's the P, and the E is to embrace it, you begin to confess it. Confession is more than just words. You know, confession, action, wrapped up in it too. Act like it. I mean, Jesus and the disciples, the early church, when they prayed for people, they wanted to see some action to it. Peter and James, you know, when they spoke to the man at their gate in Acts chapter 3, they pulled him up by the hand. You know, it's not just speak to him. Get him out of there. You know, out of that condition. Jesus also, when he would speak to them, say, take up that bed and walk. You know, if you believe you're healed, why continue to lie in bed for? You got to stand up, get out of that bed, enact what you are believing. And so we got to do that many times. You got to even change situations around, you know, influence your day by the word of God that you speak and how you act. That's right. You know, if you believe you are healed, then act like it. Get out of bed and speak it that you are healed. Hallelujah. You know, if you're looking for a job, and you've already applied and done all of that, so you're waiting for the response. Of course, if you believe that, if you are looking for a job and you don't do anything about it, nothing's going to happen. You know, you got to ask, you got to seek, and you got to knock. But when you're waiting, then act like it. You know, believe that you got it and start preparing yourself for it. You know, whatever it is that you're believing God for, start preparing. You're believing to be married, well, then start making preparation. The bride is making herself ready. Make preparation, and so on and so forth. You know, so there are many ways by which we contend. Now, along the way, while you are waiting for the realization of that promise, there will be contradictions. What I call contradictions to the word of promise. Contradictions. But the devil will come and say, we'll see what will come of your dreams now. You know, you're now in this dungeon, or you're in this pit. You know, we'll see how you're going to reign over your brethren now. Contradictions will come. The enemy, you know, but what are you going to do? Stay right with it. You're going to stay with your integrity. You got to stay with your faith. And when the Lord tells you something, he might have sent you on a mission. And many times God will do that. There might be a time and space in between the thing. You know, like Jesus said to Peter, well, they're asking for us to pay our taxes. You know, So you go down to the lake and go get a fish. The first fish you catch, open up the mouth, you'll find a coin there that's sufficient to pay for you and for me. Well, there is going to be enough time that will pass between the word of promise that was given there. You will find a coin in the mouth of the first fish that you catch. You don't even need to catch many fish. The very first one you catch, you'll find a coin. When after you've opened it up, you'll find a coin in its mouth. And you will use that to pay. Well, that's the word of promise. Well, what you got to do? You know, how do you contend for that? Well, first of all, you have to act out the promise if there is instruction given. In this case, there was instruction given. And so, you know, instruction given in this case, he had to go get his fishing gear, which he wasn't carrying around with him. In fact, he has stashed it. And Jesus called him, you know, he left his net and everything and followed. So he stashed that thing. But now he has to go get it. Or go borrow something from somebody. I don't know. But first, he has to go do something about it. And then go down to the lake. You know, and the whole time, contradictions along the way. The devil heard it. Some of those, you know, peeping and muttering spirits, they heard it when Jesus said it to Peter. You know, and so they are going to come and say, catch a fish and open up its mouth and find a coin. I mean, all this time that you have been fishing, who ever heard of such a thing? I mean, you are a renowned fisherman. I mean, you've been doing this for many years. Have you ever found a coin in the mouth of any fish? Any of those fishes that you caught? Don't waste your time going on a wild goose chase. It's not going to happen. You will not find any coin, no matter how many fishes you catch. You can spend there all day long, catch them, open them up. You will find no coin, because there's no such thing ever heard of. Well, the devil will say all that thing. I even be your face. Contradictions. Well, but you must contend for that word of promise. You must follow through. You must get rid of those voices. The voice of unbelief, the voice of reason, the voice of, you know, negativity, and all those contradictions. You get rid of that voice. Follow through with the instruction. And lo and behold, there will be that coin right there in the mouth of the fish. Because the moment that the Lord spoke that word, it wasn't just the devils that heard it. You know, other elements too that are in God's kingdom heard it as well. You know, wind also heard it and carried the word into the lake where those fishes were. And the fish would have to respond. There's a coin in that lake somewhere. And all the fish will struggle to be the one to catch it. Because the master has spoken. You know, so, but you must contend. You must go get your gear. You must go down to that lake. And you must cast in the hook and bring up the fish. And then you must open it up. And, you know, and that will be the coin. But you got to go through all those things. And you have plenty of time to doubt the word of God. With plenty of time. There are many times also the Lord will say things like this. Tomorrow. He may not say today. Because he'll give you time, you know, to contend for it. Or, you know, there'll be a time for you to draw back. You say tomorrow. You know, go down to such and such a place and the Lord will fight for you. Well, that was the case that was spoken to Hezekiah and the children of Judah when Mount Seir, Moab, and Ammon came up against them. But he didn't say today. He said tomorrow. But what happens between today and tomorrow? Well, the contradictions will arise in your heart. You say, how in the world are we going to do it? Well, what you do to contend for it is what Jehoshaphat did. You know, Jehoshaphat, when he heard the word of promise, what did he do? Well, we're told in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. He was leading the charge in worshiping the Lord. When the king does it, everybody else will follow suit. And all Judah and all inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Well, that's one reason why the word said tomorrow rather than today. You know, it give you time to worship. Also give you time to declare the word of your testimony along the lines of the word of promise. The Lord already said, you shall not need to fight in the battle. In this battle, set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and O Jerusalem. Fear not, be not dismayed. Tomorrow, he said, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. 2 Chronicles 20 and 17. Well, when the Lord said that, then you got to echo that. You got to praise the Lord. You got to worship because of the word of promise. Well, so he began to praise the Lord. And when he had consulted with the people, we're told that he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. You know, you haven't even won the victory yet, but you are shouting the praise of the Lord. Well, that's how you do it. You know, you put your testimony of praise, you put it right ahead of the battle. You don't need to wait for the result of the battle before you physically, until you physically see it. God already spoke it. Contend for it with your praise, with your worship, and with your testimony. And he actually put that ahead of the battle. There's a lesson in that, which means don't wait until the battle is over before you start to praise the Lord when you have that word of promise. So you have the word of promise for this year. You will emerge. If you haven't been doing it, you need to start doing it. Contending for it on every side. And praising the Lord for it as well. Because the word of the Lord will not fall to the ground. But the question though is, will it be mixed with faith in the heart of them that hear it? For it will not profit you anything, as it is written, the word that was spoken profited them not, because it was not mixed with faith in the heart of those that heard it. It wasn't mixed with faith. You know, that tells us that the word of God needs to be mixed with faith in our heart. Everything that the Lord has promised, we got to mix it with faith. You can read that lesson in Hebrews chapter 4. He said, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in the heart of them that heard it. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. Well, let me rephrase that Hebrews chapter 4 in a slightly different way. Let me rephrase it this way. Hebrews chapter 4. You know, let's read verses 1 and 2. Let us therefore fear lest the word of promise that has been given you of emerging this year, any of you should seem to come short of it. You know, for unto us was the word given, the word of promise, as well as unto them. But the word of promise did not profit them, because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. So, let us be careful now. he said. Once you have the word of promise, you be careful not to fall short of it. Now, that also tells us that actually, people can fall short of the promise. It tells us that just because God promises, doesn't mean everybody's going to get it. If God promised it and it wasn't mixed with faith, then they're not going to get it. But for those in whose hearts it's mixed with faith and they are ready to contend for it against all odds. Sometimes it's against all odds. You know, sometimes, you know, there'll be many voices trying to silence that word of promise. We can't do that. We cannot go up against those people. They are giants in the land. And the land is swallowing up the inhabitants. We saw there were good fruit there, but we cannot. We are powerless against those people. They're too strong for us. They will finish us off. We're like grasshoppers. Before them, they said. You covered that story multiple times in Numbers 13 and 14. But a couple of people said, well, you know, we all went out to search out the land. You guys chose to see the giants and all the obstacles and bring these contradictions to the mind of the people and weaken their hearts. But we have chosen to believe the word of the Lord, you know, for his grace and his mercy toward us. If it be so that the Lord has spoken and we find favor before him, then we shall go at once and we shall do it. But these people, their defense is departed from them. They are bread for us and we can do it. But the Lord said so. And the other said, no, we cannot do it. It's too risky. We're going to go out there and we're going to perish. They will kill us all. Because we saw them. They are mighty men of war. And they will finish us off. Well, contradictions will come against the word of promise. Which one are you going to believe? No, you're going to believe the contradictions that arise? Are you going to contend against even those contradictions? In the face of all of that, do you dare to believe the word of promise? Will you dare to believe the word of promise? Hallelujah. And then what are you going to do? Can you move forward with the word of promise? We covered the go forward part yesterday. You know, and you must settle it in your heart that the word which was spoken will prosper in what God said it for. It will not come back void, except there be unbelief, except we give in to the voices of unbelief and we give in to the voices of doubt and reason. And the voice of reason is the one that is most subtle. Of all those voices, we tell you that, look, you know, count the cost. You only have 100 people. How are you going to go up against 10,000 people? Did not even Jesus tell you to count the cost? You can't do it. You know, you cannot do it. I mean, you're only, you know, 100,000 folks and there's the three great nations that come against you in millions. You can't do it. You know, better count the cost. It's better for you now to, you know, cut your losses before you get all wiped out. You can't do it. I mean, there'll be many voices, you know, that will come in there and bring in contradictions against the word of promise. But you got to earnestly contend for it through your relentless faith. You stay right with the word and you don't give an inch. They asked Moses, how do you know that the destroyer will not destroy us? You know, whoever heard of such a thing? Just put the blood on the door. How's that going to save us? We will all perish. Now, it's funny that The people that will doubt the word of God like that, they believe part of it, but yet they doubt the important part. But the Lord said, destroyer is coming. He said, well, we will not be saved, we'll be destroyed. That means they actually believe that the destroyer is coming. But then why didn't you believe the rest of it too? Well, you know, we can't do it. But Moses said, because the Lord said so. But the Lord promised. And he said, look, you hear me now, every one of you, you do as the Lord has said. Here's what you would do today. Get you a lamb, gather together your household, sacrifice the lamb and call upon the name of your God and put on the door, the blood of the lamb, and stay inside the house, and the angel of destruction will pass over because God said so. You know, when they were in the ark, you know, the Noah's family, same thing, you know, God, nobody ever been in an ark before. Nobody ever seen rain. Nobody ever been through these kind of things. And it's like, we will all die. This tempest will kill us all. Because they are going tossed up and down. I mean, guarantee you, just because they were in the ark, doesn't mean they were smooth sailing. They were being tossed up and down in that ark because of the fury of the rains that came. And Noah had to tell them, had to steal all of them and say, the Lord promised and he would do it. That's how you go up against contradictions. Even your family, your closest friends and everything, they'll come up against you. I mean, he was one of Jesus's closest disciples that tried to discourage him. And this was the man in Matthew chapter 16, after Jesus took the opinion poll. What do people say about the Christ? And everybody said this or that. So what about you guys? And then Peter said, well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, wow, I tell you what, you did not learn that by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven revealed that to you, because no man can know who the Son is except the Father. And likewise, vice versa, except the Son revealed it. He said, well, that was a great revelation. And on that revelation, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, a few verses later, he began to say, well, but I must go to Jerusalem. And I must do this and so forth. And come before the chief priests and so forth. Be put to death and all of that. And I began to tell them. You know, and Peter took him and said, Lord, be it far from you. It's not going to happen. I'm not even going to let it. You are here to deliver us. You are the Messiah. There is no way that's going to happen to you for them to put you on the cross or kill you or any such thing. You know, contradictions come up in any form. But the Lord had to discern through all of that. And this was a man that just received tremendous revelation. So it doesn't matter, folks, revelation or not, even a prophet can come up against you and try to dissuade you from the word of promise. I mean, Peter got a revelation that nobody else had, and yet he was the one that come up against the Lord and tried to dissuade him from going to the cross. So contradictions can come in so many ways, and Jesus knew what he was doing. Jesus was practicing the same principle that I've been teaching here. Is, you know, once you know the Father's will and you're walking in it, declare it. Even ahead of time. Don't wait until you're dead before you start saying that you're going to be raised up. He said, well, I tell you these things ahead of time so that when it happens, you may believe. He said, lo, I've told you before. The Son of Man shall go, and he'll be taken, and he'll be crucified, and he will rise up the third day. Tell it to them way ahead of time. He also giving his own testimony. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up again. And they said, well, just nobody understood what he was talking about. But he had to be declaring it, because that's how you do it. You have to declare it. Even Moses and Elijah, came and they were talking to him about, you know, well, you're going to go and die and so forth. You know, he was still there. So they themselves, they knew that, you know, Jesus had to be resurrected for them to be raised up also as the new, in the new bodies, as the two witnesses. They were depending on that. So they were talking to him about it. The Bible said they were discussing the death that he should suffer. Well, why were they concerned about that? But Jesus, every time he talked about his death, it wasn't just about his death. He always talked about his resurrection. And he had to declare it because he knows he's coming out of that grave. But he had to declare it. That's how he contend. You contend, you know, whether it's your best friend, your husband, your spouse, anybody that tell you, try to distract you. And that's what Abraham should have done. You know, when Sarah said, look, we, you know, this thing, we've been waiting for this thing. I mean, how much longer are we going to wait? I mean, you know, I mean, we waited 5 years, 10 years, and all of these things. You know, look, enough already. You know, maybe that's not what the Lord said. Maybe you misunderstood him. Well, and maybe actually, you know, I mean, you know, God works in mysterious ways. Maybe the Lord, I mean, it may please the Lord that, you know, maybe I'll have the child through my maid. So you go in unto my maid. You know, I can have a child that way. You know, God walks in mysterious ways. Contradictions to the word of promise. Voices of reason. Well, you know, it's possible that maybe that's what God meant. Do it this way and that way and so on. All kinds of voices. You got to sift through all of that. Stay right there with the word. And say, no. That's not what God said. You know, it's not coming that way. We may do that, but that's not the child of promise. You know, there was a child of promise that was coming. And that was not the promise. The promise didn't say, you know, Hagar would be the one to give you the child. The promise said, Sarai will be the one. And you got to stay with it. Well, Abraham didn't quite stay with it at that point in time. You know, and you know, sometimes, you know, the wife can put so much pressure on the man that they just went and do something crazy. Like Adam. Adam was not deceived. He was not deceived at all. But there was a woman that was deceived. But you know, I don't know. He went along with it anyway. But he was not deceived. He knew point blank. You know, but, you know, it is what it is. Now, men ought to be careful. And women likewise also. You know, don't let your wife put you pressure into doing the wrong thing. You know, we've seen two great cases in the Word of God. Eve and Sarah persuaded their husbands to go against the Word. And that didn't fall out very well. Likewise, women, don't let your husband, you know, tell you otherwise. Stay with the word. As long as they themselves are following the word, then it's all good. Paul said, you follow me as I follow God. Well, so if he's following God and you're following, that's good. If your husband is following God and you're following, then that's good. But if they go away from the word, then you better stay right there with the word. So these are the things that we must do to contend for the word of promise. And let that, the word of promise, be as frontlets before your eyes, like glasses. You're always seeing it. You're seeing through it all the time. Keep your eyes on the promise. If that's what God promised, then that's what's going to happen. And then align your heart and your mind towards it and pray it through. You know, sometimes you got to pray it through. I mean, why was it that Jesus had to pray and pray and pray and pray? Well, because it was a pearl of great price and he's going to get it, you know, but he had to pray it through. You know, he can't just waltz in there and think that, well, God promises, so all is good or all is well. Well, all is well, but devil's going to fight it, you know, just like he fought it when the Lord said, let us pass over to the other side. And then he threw all kinds of tempests and all kinds of storms. Water coming into the boat, trying to rock that thing up and down, capsize the thing, you know, just because Jesus said, let's pass over to the other side. But they did not contend for that word. They should have stood right there and said, well, the Lord said we're passing over to the other side, and Passover we will. And that's it. Stay right there. Let the thing go up and down, toss you upside down, whichever way. It ain't capsizing, because the Lord said you're going to the other side. But they panicked, because they did not know how to contend for the word that was spoken. And so Jesus had to rebuke not only the storm, but also rebuke the disciples. You know, so I can go on and on and on, and you know all these stories. But put them all together and act upon them daily. The problem is we know these things, but we forget. So that's why we have to remind one another of these things. As it is written, you know, because of, you know, the deceitfulness of sin and many of these things, people's heart be hardened and they forget the word of promise. So encourage one another daily, especially as you see the day approaching. Well, we see the end of this year also approaching. So I'm encouraging us daily now to contend for the word of promise given at the beginning of the year, that you will emerge. Begin to contend for it. Hallelujah. And stay right there with it. No matter what it looks like now, you know, you know, stay with it. If it takes seven times before you see a little cloud, stay right there. Don't give in and don't give up. Hallelujah. Stay with that word and pray it through. And you will have to pray it through. Yeah, praise God. You know, now God has foreknowledge, but we do not have, we're not privileged with foreknowledge. Unfortunately. Well, maybe not unfortunately, maybe that's the way God designed it. You know, but God has that foreknowledge. So when God has spoken, remember, he has foreknowledge of all things. So if he said something that looks like it's futuristic, now to you, it looks like it's still in the future. Well, remember, God has foreknowledge. So he already said what he already seen what he said. So if you understand that, then you use your faith to align with his foreknowledge. He has foreknowledge, I don't. But I have faith. Hallelujah. And I have faith that in his word. And if you know how to use your faith, you can almost approximate God's foreknowledge. That's right. You know, what God said, God's already seen what he said. Now, I haven't seen it, but I believe what he said. So it comes to the same thing. It amounts to the same thing. You know, and remember, God never starts anything until first he has finished it. I've taught that many times, and I'll continue to remind us anytime that you're contending for God's promise. The word of promise given is based on God's foreknowledge. He already saw it, so he spoke it, that it will be like that. Well, then you got to align your faith with that and know that he's already finished it in his own realm. Otherwise, he wouldn't even start it. Because the Lamb was slain before the world even began. God finished everything before he even starts it. And so, you say, well, the Lord declares the end from the beginning. Because as far as he's concerned, you know, the end, beginning, yesterday, tomorrow, it's all the same to him. Let me give you this one last scripture and then I'll pray over the room. While you are contending for God's promises, remember this, that the Lord sees the end from the beginning. That's right. He said, I am the Lord, and declareth the end from the beginning. He said that all the time because he has seen the end and he can do it even before we say anything, or before he does anything or says it to us. That's Isaiah 46:10. He said, I am the Lord that declared the end from the beginning. Well, from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, because as far as he's concerned, it's all done already. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. And his counsel will indeed stand, because he's already seen it. You know, so, but the one I wanted to read to you to close it out is in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 And here's how we're going to close it out. I know, verses 14 and 15, that whatsoever God doeth or saith shall stand. Well, in this case, he said, well, whatever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it so that men should fear before him. That's right. Now, verse 15 will explain it to you. This mystery of end before it starts. You know, it's right here in this verse. That which hath been is now. And that which is to be has already been. So it's yet to happen, but as far as God's concerned, it's already happened. You know, and God required the thing which is past. He brings both past, future, present, everything together in his realm. It's eternal. What's yet to happen from our perspective has already happened from God's perspective. You know, and it's yet to be, but it has already been. Before it started, it's already finished. That's right here in this scripture. You know, so that's how you use that to contend. Say, Lord, you said it. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know what God has said to you this year besides, I'm talking the general one that God put in my mouth to proclaim to God's people. And anybody that wants it can latch onto it. You know, but there is also sometimes specific that God says something to you. You know, and whatever he said to you, you must also contend for it. Don't let anybody try to dissuade you from what God said to you. It's for you. It's not for them. And that's why you shouldn't even tell it to them. And you tell it to them, they'll try to discourage you. And say, well, you know, we'll see what will happen to your dreams. And they'll try to kill you for it too. So don't keep it to yourself. You know, but sometimes you have to declare it. You know, it depends on how the Holy Spirit is leading you. Well, Abraham had to declare it. Change his name to prove it. You know, and they mocked him. How are you going to be the father of nations when you don't even have a child? Well, he said, well, the Lord said so. You know, and don't call me Abraham anymore. If you do, I'm not going to answer. My name is Abraham because I will be the father of nations. Well, that's how you contend for it. No matter how long it takes, you stay right there with it. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word of promise given to us generally and even specifically. And I pray, Lord, that through these admonitions of things and that we already know, but bring into our remembrance again the things which we already know, that we may remember how that we ought to contend for the word of promise. Thank you, Father. And I thank you, Lord, because your word will not fall to the ground without accomplishing its purpose, without bringing to pass the thing whereunto you sent it, and that which you please, it will happen. It is your good pleasure, Lord, to make us to inherit the kingdom. And so you declared it unto us to encourage us to strive towards it. And thank you, Lord, because the people of God shall surely emerge. Now, the emerge, ladies and gentlemen, does not mean it will complete in this year, but it will start in this year. That's right. You know, and it will start. And there's many days left in this year. And say not in your heart. You know, it's not the year almost finished, and yet the promise of God, you know, for me, has not come to pass. Behold, saith the Lord, the word which I have spoken shall be done, and it shall not be delayed. Hallelujah. The Lord has spoken it, and he will also bring it to pass. No more delay, but you must contend for it. Hallelujah. Even as it is written in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 12, the Lord said, you must contend for the word because it will not, you know, I mean, be delayed anymore. There shall be no more any vain vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, Ezekiel 12 and 25. I will speak. Well, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. Well, let me put it this way. For I am the Lord, I have spoken, and the word that I have spoken shall come to pass. It shall no more be delayed. Hallelujah. And let's not be like the rebellious house of Israel. You know, the Lord said, I have spoken the word, I will also perform it. Therefore, say unto them, verse 28 of Ezekiel 12, thus said the Lord God, these words that I have spoken to you shall no longer be prolonged, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord, and my zeal will watch over it to perform it. Thank you, Father. Grant everyone the courage to be resilient in contending for the word of God, the word of promise. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory, and our eyes shall see it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Be not like the man that said, if the Lord shall open the windows of heaven, shall this thing even be? And the prophet had to tell him, well, it will be, but because you despise the word, you will not taste of it. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's not be like that. And it happened to him like the prophet said, because he got caught in the stampede and he was trodden down and he died and he did not taste of it. But the word that the prophet said did indeed come to pass. So, the word of the Lord has spoken and gone forth for you this year shall indeed come to pass. Behold, you shall emerge. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen.